Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Joined by Jeff Fiegels, I am John Schmelken. The phone number for you is 201-939-4513. Free agency is almost here. Not quite. We're about 4 hours away from the official start of free agency, though
really
a lot
is.
Of unofficial news has been coming down the last couple of days. And I'm sure you saw the reports, Ian Rappaport reporting earlier today from NFL Network. That the Giants and Nate Solder has come to contract terms. We would like to stress that is not official. I know you guys are tired of hearing us say that, but it is true, and that will not be official until pen is on paper and the contract is signed. And as the Indianapolis Colts were made aware earlier this year with the New England Patriots,
It happens.
Sometimes you're in agreement with a guy and it doesn't happen. You go back, Frank Gore a couple years ago agreed to terms with the Eagles. He didn't go there. It didn't become official. So nothing is official. But if you want to call and talk and ask us about Nate Solder, we can talk about it. But we just want to stress nothing is official. But, Jeff, from a big picture perspective, left tackle is an area the Giants have been trying to fill basically since David Deal and Will Beatty. Ereck Flowers has had some issues there. And, you know, Nate Solder is a guy that started a lot of games and protected Tom Brady's blind side, has never made a Pro Bowl in New England, but a very, very good football
player.
With
exception to 2015 when he had a pectoral, you know, or a tricep or pectoral. That's the only time he's missed some time. But I think you got a lot of credibility when you're the left tackle for one Tom Brady. So I think that he brings that type of player to the Giants and then the leadership he's going to have there. The durability, and listen, you know, it's definitely an upgrade from Ereck Flowers, what we have seen over the last 3 years. What to do with Ereck Flowers, that's to be seen. You know, the guy's still under contract, you know, and they're just going to have to figure out where they're going to put him, but sooner or later. But, you know, this whole free agency is exciting. You got to keep tracks on it because, man, it moves fast.
And
moves quickly.
And here's the thing. We had Giant fans jumping off bridges last night and freaking out when, Andrew Norwell was reported to sign with another team and everyone's freaking out. Well, and we'll talk about this with Ross Tucker in about a minute or two. A lot easier to find a guard than to find a left tackle. So just something
absolutely.
To keep in mind
as
you move forward in the draft or free agency, whatever. One other report this morning, Kareem Martin, the linebacker, formerly of the Cardinals. Again, not official. From what I know about him, what I've read about him, kind of a Devon Kennard type of 3-4 outside linebacker, a little bit of a bigger body than him, pass rusher, knows better scheme. So, again, not official. But if you want to call and talk about him, we can. The one official thing that's done and on the books, and we should mention that before we get to the Ross Tucker interview, is Jonathan Stewart, older running back, has been in the league for 10 years, some tread off the tire. He'll be 31 in March, very productive. And Jeff, the way I look at this deal with Stewart, it's not a game changer. He's not going to come in here and get 20 carries a game. He's not carrying the load. He's always been a split-time back in his time in the pros, whether it was with Christian McCaffrey last year or with D'Angelo Williams years before that. He's a guy that will be a good voice in the locker room, and we all know last year the locker room had issues. I think Dave Gettleman knows the type of man and player he is. He can come in here and help that way. And I also think he fits as a bruising short yardage back. And I think those are the two roles he will play. Again, I don't think it's a monumental signing by any means. It's not going to, move the needle. It's not a big deal either way if you like it or you hate it. But I think Dave Gettleman wanted another veteran voice in that locker room that he knew would set the tone for the type of culture he wants to create here. And that's the way I view that signing.
Well, also, they gave him some decent money, so it's not this type of signing that you think he's going to be in and out the door. I mean, he's going to be on the team, and he's going to be all of what you had mentioned, which is very important. I think the big one there is about the locker room. The locker room was very toxic. He's known to be a guy that can lead in the locker room, and at that position where you have two young guys like Perkins and Gallman who definitely could use a little leadership coming from that position, and he's one of the guys that can do it.
And I understand fans' concern, the running back over 30, a lot of miles on the legs. Fair. Get it. You want to call and talk about it, we're happy to. But
he's not going to get 25 carries a game, like you said. He's going to be in some short yardage. He's a very tough runner. He's got good vision. He also can catch the ball out of the backfield a little bit too. So you're losing one Shane Vereen. He might come back. May not. He's a free agent. Who knows? So we'll see what happens.
He hasn't done a ton of that in Carolina.
He can catch it though.
Correct.
He can catch.
All right, folks, we'll talk all about that with you on the phones at 201-939-4513. But first, we had a chance to talk to Ross Tucker from SiriusXM NFL Radio, former NFL offensive lineman. Who better to talk about the Giants' O-line as Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur try to rebuild it in 2018? And now we're joined on the phones by Ross Tucker, SiriusXM NFL Radio. You can also hear him doing games for Westwood One. Ross, you got John Schmelk and Jeff Fiegels here in East Rutherford. Thanks a lot for the time today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime. It's good timing, good day for me to come on.
Absolutely. And obviously, Ross, I've listened to you and Bob Papa. He does a show right next to me in my office, so I listen to you guys when you host together all the time. And obviously, you guys have talked a lot about the Giants' offensive line over the past few years. Your thoughts on Nate Solder?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's all about supply and demand. There aren't that many quality left tackles in the NFL. I mean, think about what Matt Khalil got paid from the Carolina Panthers last year, which is crazy. And you look at it, Houston desperately wanted Solder. The Patriots really wanted to keep him. It's a lot of money, but like I always say, there becomes a certain point where if you really want the player and you're willing to pay $13 million a year, is $15 really that much different if you really feel like he's going to make a difference for your team? They obviously do. I think they thought the money for Andrew Norwell as a left guard got a little too rich for over $13 million. But at $15 million, I think they felt like there was value there still for Nate Solder. And I would tend to agree. I would argue that you're more likely to be able to find a competent average or maybe even slightly above average starting guard than you are a tackle. And you can also, you can protect a guard a lot more than a tackle. You know, I mean, if it's a tackle and he's really struggling, you're going to always have to be giving him help. You're going to have major issues. Whereas if it's a guard, you know, there's a lot of times where he's not even in a one-on-one pass protection situation.
Yeah, and Ross, just to, and you mentioned supply and demand. That was your first point. Once you got past this player, you look at the draft. I'm not sure if you have one step-in starting left tackle in the group this year. And then you look at the rest of free agent class, it's the same type of deal. While I think you can find a guard in the draft, you can find a guard in free agency. This is a hole that I think would have been extremely difficult to fill otherwise.
Well, and you're right. It's the second year in a row where I would argue that the draft is disappointing at the position. I've evaluated a bunch of these guys. You know, I like McGlinchey from Notre Dame, but he's far, far from a guy that you feel confident will play at a really high level as a rookie. Now, I think he'll be pretty good, but he doesn't move quite as well as you usually like to have a left tackle move in the NFL, so I'm with you. And if you look at what some of the other teams are doing, I mean, the Browns, you know, as we talk here, still haven't found out about Joe Thomas. They're signing Chris Hubbard to big money and signing Donald Stevenson to protect themselves in case Thomas retires. The Houston Texans are taking a flyer on Chantrell Henderson just in case they couldn't get sold, or which they couldn't. So it's one of those things where it's almost like desperate times call for desperate measures for these teams. I think that, like I said earlier, as much as I like Norwell as a player, I still, look, I played all five position guys, but mainly played inside. And, you know, you can find an inside guy, especially, I think, left guard, much more easily than a left tackle. So I would say that the money's well spent. The difference between Solder and Norwell is that Norwell's younger.
Yep.
So that might be a factor, and certainly I understand that. But there's a pretty good history of linemen playing until 33, 34. So I think on this deal, you at least get good production out of Solder for the guaranteed portion of the contract.
Ross, I Jeff Fiegels here. I've got a theory on this offensive line that comes out every year and with the draft. I think it's getting more difficult every single year with the way that these offenses have run in college football to find those offensive linemen. Therefore, I think the money that's going to on above average to average NFL free agents is, I just have a feeling this is why these guys are getting paid the money, because really it's hard to find a really good quality offensive lineman in the draft. And you said it as well as we know it. The last 2 years has been a very subpar group of guys coming out of college. Do you agree with that?
Yes, this is the second year in a row, and I think just in general, people are realizing that it's getting tougher to draft and develop offensive linemen.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. Let's just look at the Giants, right? I mean, and, you know, they've had some issues with some of the guys they've drafted and hoped that could perform at a high level up front for them. It has not gone as well as they would have liked. I think there's a lot of reasons for that. It's not just what happens in college. It's what happens after that now. You're not allowed to have as much practice time with mm-hmm. these guys. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to have as much contact. So not only are they not as good coming out of the draft, and I think a big reason for that is the spread offenses and the up-tempo offenses. I mean, if you watch in college football, most of the time that ball was out in like a second and a half. I mean, I almost don't yeah. blame these kids because whether it's the run or the pass, you know, they're not really getting a whole lot of time actually finishing blocks or actually pass blocking for 3+ seconds because the ball's out. So it's almost like it's foreign to them and they're not working on the skills. They're beating people with tempo more than they're beating with them with technique. So you come in at a deficit and then you don't have as much practice time. You don't have as much contact with the practice time. I mean, it's never just one thing, but for a bunch of different factors, it's a lot tougher to find those guys.
We're joined by Ross Tucker. Of course, the reports today on Nate Solder, nothing official, will not be official until free agency opens tomorrow at 4. And remember, too, folks, or today at 4, I should say, when it comes to the Patriots, nothing's ever final until it's final. So that's especially appropriate in situations like these.
Yeah, that's
Ross,
the truth.
Where do you think Ereck Flowers plays this year in terms of a position on the line?
So I've been thinking about that. I anticipated you asking me that. And I don't know. It's either left guard or right tackle. You know, the value of left guard is that he'd be able to stay in his same stance. You know, he's been playing for 3 years now
yep.
in a left-handed stance. So that there's some value to that. But I don't remember him ever playing guard. So even in college. Now,
nope.
He can play right tackle. He showed that in college. He really has everything about him, guys, has always screamed right tackle, right? He's very physical. He's ornery. He will get after people, but he's never been especially polished in pass protection, and he's not great in terms of lateral agility. Now, the league has changed a little bit. There are more and more good rushers coming from over the right side, so you can't just be a big enforcer type at right tackle and excel, but you definitely have a better shot over there. You know, I feel like Flowers needs to be more of like the John Runyon type. You know,
right.
He's got to try to beat people up because he's just not going to be skilled enough or athletic enough to be able to mirror these really good pass rushers. So I don't know. Those are the two choices, and it might depend on what else they end up getting. You know, they might right now think, okay, Flowers is going to start for us at one of those two spots, but let's not just decide right now what that spot is. Let's see how free agency plays out. Let's see how the draft plays out. And then based on those two things, then we can put Flowers at one of those two spots and start to try to get him comfortable there.
Well, Ross, I think that's a great segue. What do you think the next step should be for the Giants to complete this process in terms of rebuilding the offensive line? One guy is not going to solve the problem. We know it's a pretty strong guard draft class, at least at the top. Or do you like free agency? What do you think the next step is for the Giants to continue to build up this offensive line?
Well, I always think that after a week or so of free agency, that there are always going to be guys there that, you know, would you like to have better? Yeah, but they won't lose you the game. And in all sincerity, I was kind of that kind of guy. You know, like, no team ever was like, oh, man, we're so pumped we have Tucker starting. But I didn't lose the game either. You know
right.
what I mean? So
yeah.
I think after a week, I'd like to see them get one tackle and one guard, relatively inexpensive, that fit that criteria. And I feel like they already did that with John Greco. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like getting a guy like Greco at least gives them a guy that's not going to lose them a game at guard and gives them a solid option there. I'd like to see them do that at tackle as well. And then the one good thing about where they're drafting and the draft is that at the top of round two, they should get a starting quality offensive lineman. I don't think they need to take Quentin Nelson at two. I love Quentin Nelson. I wish I was Quentin Nelson, but I don't think that they need to do that.
Right.
I think that they can, you know, take someone else at the number two pick, or if they trade down a little bit or whatever. But I think at the top of round two, guys, they can get, you know, a starting guard and or maybe a guy that starts at right tackle for them at the top of round two. I mean, for all we know, they might get the second best tackle, or maybe even the first tackle falls to them. We've seen that happen in recent years. And then you're getting some value by getting a guy that has a pretty good chance to be a quality starter and getting him at the top of round two rather than high in round one.
Is it conceivable to think from the Giants fans' perspective, Ross, that, you know, you look at Pat Shurmur and what the Vikings did last year with that offensive line and turned things around fairly quickly and the success that they had on the season. If you're a Giants fan, can you somewhat be a little excited that the Giants and this new coaching staff with Coach Shurmur can they do that? Can they turn this offensive line around like they did with the Vikings last year with the personnel that you see that they have right now or going forward? What do you think, Ross?
I think they can, because the beauty of it is, it's not, I mean, you know, they spent for Riley Reiff, but it's really more about, you know, the group than it is about the individuals. I mean, go back to some of the great
Giant
offensive lines. They weren't all like Pro Bowl type of guys. So I think you absolutely can. Bringing in guys like Remmers, playing some younger guys, like playing Brent Jones and having him play center, and knowing he can play solid for you. The Vikings proved last year, and I think the scheme of Shurmur helped that a little bit, but they proved they could make huge changes across the board and go from one of the worst offensive lines to being a very solid unit. So, yes, I think the Giants, look, Giants fans have had to put up with a really bad offensive line long enough that they should expect a much improved bunch. And, look, that's what Gettleman does, so I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen.
Ross, final question. And this is kind of a big picture question, so feel free to take it in whatever direction you want. The Giants went 3-13 last year. They really struggled. New coach, new GM, new era. Eli is going to be back. What do you think they should do with the rest of free agency? And then, most importantly, at the top of the draft, selecting second to try to turn this thing around as quickly as possible?
Yeah, so I think that they should draft a quarterback at two if they really like one. And if he's there, my guess would be that the Giants probably like Darnold and that he'll be gone. I think the Cleveland Browns take Sam Darnold number one overall. So then you have a really, like, I think if the number one quarterback they liked was still there at two, I think they should take him. I think they would take him. As much as they like Eli, the Giants very rarely draft in the top five, and that's an opportunity you must take advantage of. But if Darnold's the guy they like and he's not there, I don't think they're going to force it. I think they're going to trade down, because I think there will be someone else that will want to move up to take one of these other quarterbacks. I think they'll trade down, try to fortify the roster in other places, and then perhaps see what they have in Davis Webb or take a quarterback later on in the draft and not force it this year, feeling like they can still get two, maybe even three quality years out of Eli.
Real quick, where do you think Barkley lands? I know a lot of fans really want him on their team.
I think he goes lower than people think. I don't think he goes one. I don't think he goes two. It's possible, but I think there's going to be a run on quarterbacks. I think he ends up going, maybe even if the Giants drop back. You know, if the Giants trade down from 2 to 4 or 2 to 5, somewhere in that range, I wouldn't be surprised if they picked him up there.
What about the Jets at 6? They would, I mean.
You know what? It's possible. They just got Crowell, so I don't think they're going to do that, but it's possible.
Man. Ross, great stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Ross.
We know you're busy. It's a busy time. We appreciate it, and we'll enjoy listening to you on SiriusXM.
All right, see you guys.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
And now we're joined on the phones by Ross Tucker.
SiriusXM.
From SiriusXM NFL Radio. You can also hear him on Westwood One doing the games over the course of the NFL season. Great stuff there on the offensive line. And Jeff, a couple things since we've been in that interview. Orlando Brown worked out at his pro day, by the way, sticking on the offensive line theme. Bench pressed 4 more than he did at the combine. Jumped vertical and broad about 5 or 6 inches more on both jumps. And he also, what was the other drill he did? And he ran his 40-yard dash about 0.2 of a second quicker. So much better numbers for Orlando Brown at his pro day than what he did at the NFL Combine.
And you wondered, how many days ago was the combine?
2 weeks.
2 weeks ago. So, I mean, I don't ever get that. I figure, like, you know, if there's a time you need to shine, it's when everybody else is shining, and that's at the combine. I don't know why you're going to do it at your pro day. But anyways, well, good for him. I mean, he's obviously going to be a first-round draft pick regardless of what he does there. But we'll see.
All right, let's get to the phones at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's start off with Joe in Pennsylvania. He leads us off on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hi, Joe.
Joe Pa.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Feeling a lot better about what's happening here. And the main one big thing about signing Soldier there, I'm saying if, I understand that, is I think that that puts us in a position that we are not going to be panicked for anything in the draft now, that we don't have to reach for anything. I really do that. You know, he's the stabilizer on the line, and Flowers will be back to where he was going to be when he started at right tackle, where he was supposed to be there. You know, signing Stewart there, would you mean that? Would you think that's the end of Darkwaw for sure?
Not for sure, but I think it would be surprising if they brought him back, yeah, considering they have Perkins and Gallman already on the roster.
Yeah.
He showed he could be special. The only problem with his was catching that ball, you know.
And staying healthy.
Okay. Remember his last game? He showed what he could do. You know, was it a 60 or 70 yard run there against the Skins? You know, he can break them too. You know, he played hard. So I do like the linebacker signing. I said, if there's a reach anywhere, do you still think it's in the offensive line? Is that the biggest pressure we have for the signing in the draft?
I think that's part of it. I think corner is something that you might have to address with Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie being released. You really only have those two starting corners. And Eli Apple, there are questions about him, obviously. So I think corner is another spot you got to worry about, Joe. But look, I agree with you. I think your best point was that now when you get to the draft, you don't have to worry about finding a tackle. And I think Ross Tucker said it too. You can find a really good guard more than likely in the top of the second round. You could even maybe find the guy that you're more comfortable putting at right tackle at the top of the second round. The left tackle is the hardest spot to fill on a team these days in the NFL, except for maybe the quarterback. I mean, when's the last time you saw a top left tackle become a free agent? You've seen bottom left tackles become free agents, not really good ones. So it was a very good fit, and I think it does make the team a lot more flexible in how they handle the remainder of their offseason in free agency and in the draft.
All right. I'm just looking at it, you know, now like you're the guy from Sirius said, that's the way I feel. If the quarterback's there that we really like, you know, we can't pass on him. If not, you know, now the Browns, I know they signed a running back. They're a good running back now. I don't mean if that they for sure ain't going to take Barkley, number one. I'm not sure. And let's see. I have a gripe, too, but I have to say, it just burns me that we just let Cromartie go for nothing. If you ever get the chance to talk to Gettleman, well, what did we have, a one-more-year contract with him, and at what price?
It was a lot. It was a lot.
I believe his cap number was somewhere in the range of $7
million. All right, but still, man, he is one of the. He's a game breaker for me. He can win for you. He was like Deion Sanders back there. He really was. He was good.
On.
I don't care. He sets up a lot of receivers and that. And he made plays, you know, when he was in there. But I just – his value, I just find it hard to believe that we couldn't get a low-round draft pick at the very least for him. And it burns me to see the Eagles trading their offensive line receivers for cornerbacks and stuff, getting something for him. You know, that if you ever get talked to Gettleman, you know, ask him about that. I could see where he had to do that with the – when he was in Carolina with the big cornerback he left go, because he was asking a king's ransom.
Joe, how about this? If they don't let Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie go, do they have the money to make the signing that you're so excited about?
I understand that.
And another team has to be willing to accept the contract, too.
I understand that, but I just think we could have got something little for that. That's what I'd like to know.
I think they tried, trust me. Of course they did.
It would burn me if they did not
try. Oh, come on, Joe. You know that they had to have tried.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate the call, buddy.
They had to have tried to do that, and it just didn't work out.
There's not going to be a big market for a 31-year-old corner.
Making $7, $8 million. It's not going to happen.
He can't play every snap. He's on and off the field all the time. And, yes, he does make some big plays, Joe, but he's also a guy that gambles a little bit. We saw him blow some coverages last year, too, taking chances. So, look, I love DRC. He's a good guy. I had fun watching him. He's a good player. But, look, when you get over the age of 30 and you have a big cap number, that's what happens in this league. It happens to everybody.
It's a young league. And, you know, one of the things that I read about before we came on the air about Nate Solder was the fact that he had it in his contract up in New England. This is a report that I read it. So whether it's true or not, I don't know. But the fact is that he said that they could not put the tag on him.
Correct.
So that's why he was able to hit free agents, because you had said previously, you know, how often do you get a left tackle that goes into free agency? You know, typically they're re-signing the guys
or a franchise.
Mm-hmm. So that's one reason why he was able
to
be out there. So that was a good thing that the Giants were able to pick him up. So, you know, the other thing, too, that I look about this whole thing with Ereck Flowers and, you know, and Jones and some of the younger guys, you know, I think that Nate Solder, he's going to be automatically respected because of the deal he signed when he comes here. The other thing is he's coming from the New England Patriots. He's coming from being, you know, Tom Brady's left tackle. There's going to be a lot of respect for this guy. There's going to be a lot of things that go into this thing when he gets here, if he does. Of course, you know, like we said, it's not official until it happens. But the fact is, I think that his leadership is going to be something that's going to be really, really good for this offensive line. And, you know, maybe Ereck Flowers, you know, looks up to this guy and does something, and who knows. But, I would hate to see the Giants quit on Ereck Flowers, as much as I know a lot of people want to. But, you know, try to find this guy another position. Try to find and see if he can work some things out.
I think they'll give him an ample opportunity to start somewhere on this line next year, unless they trade him.
Yeah, and I don't know what his cap number is this year.
It's not bad.
It's not bad, no. And the fact that he's been a 3-year starter, so he does have experience. And you know, and Ross had mentioned that he's probably better off being on the left side because of his stance. That makes a lot of sense to me, but it also makes more sense to me keeping him at the tackle position where he played right tackle in college. So I think you can maybe segue into that position too.
Yeah, but I think it gives him two options to give him a shot at two different spots. I agree. Tom in Cortland, he's up next. How are you, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
What's going on, pal? He dropped?
He dropped.
We got Pete in Staten Island. Dave, is he there now? Let's go to Pete.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good. How are you, Pete?
What's up?
Not so much. I spoke to you yesterday, John. We were talking about the hair follicle, and you started laughing. anyway, I wanted to talk about the Solder thing. I'm happy about it. I'm a little bit, you know, concerned about the age part of it. But, you know, I guess if you want to get a player, you're going to have to, you know, kind of give up something, I guess.
Well, Pete, to make you feel a little bit better, if you remember last year, Andre Whitworth hit the free agent market around 34 years old, and he still got premium money. So, again, if the duration of this contract, as reported, is correct, Solder will be 34 when the contract is up, which I think for an offensive tackle, assuming he maintains his level of health, I don't see why he wouldn't be able to continue to play at a high level through the end of the deal.
Yeah. Okay, and you know what? I'm not unhappy with it, certainly, you know, and I would think, I don't know what's going to happen with Ereck Flowers, but I would think he was, you know, with his contract status, he would get a shot at right tackle. That's my guess.
Yep.
Now, my other thing is I'm scratching my head with Jonathan Stewart, and I don't know what the contract is. First, can you explain the contract, and then I have a point about another player that I would have liked to see them sign.
Pete, unfortunately, the Giants don't release the terms of the contract, and I have not seen anything that I would be confident in discussing. So let me put it this way. Whatever the contract is, it's not something that, in my opinion, is going to be prohibitive to the point where it's going to stop you from doing anything else. But I understand your concern, and I'm sure I know where you're going. 31-year-old running back, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right?
Yeah, the player I wanted to talk about, because the Jets signed Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah.
Who I'm a very big fan of, okay? Believe it or not, I watched a lot of Cleveland games. And
God bless you.
You know, he suits the Shermer kind of back. You know, we catch the ball out of the backfield. He averaged about five yards a carry. You know, Cleveland did have a very good offensive line. However, he is talented. He's 26 years old.
Yep.
And I understand the Jets had signed him for about $5 million a year. And that seemed to me, I said, geez, you know, I hope Stewart doesn't come anywhere near that, because if he did, I would have much rather had the, you know, 5-year younger player that's multi-talented. And so that's the only thing I'm scratching my head about. Otherwise, you know, it's a good day for the Giants. You know, we did sign a player that we obviously needed. And I'm thinking again, Eric Flowers to the right-hand side. Just any comments if you have them, guys, and especially if you know anything about the Corral thing, I'd like to know.
Thank you, Pete.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
The call. No problem.
Have a great day,
yeah,
guys.
You too. Thanks for the call. I'll have to look at what kind of guaranteed money Crowell got in that contract. I know it was a 3-year, $16 million contract, something like that. I would have to look at what the guaranteed money is. I'm not sure what it is. I'm trying to find it. My computer is going in slow motion.
Probably
going
to be something like Carlos's Hyde deal that for what they did, they paid Cleveland. Like, it was around $5 million a year, somewhere around in there. So,
but again, it's the guaranteed money and how that works. And I don't see any numbers here on the guaranteed money for his contract with the Jets. So until you see that, you can compare it. I hesitate to make those comparisons.
Well, I don't think that. Well, just briefly, I don't think you're going to be able to compare Jonathan Stewart to those younger guys in the salaries that they're getting. I don't think they're even close, to be honest with you. And I would just, you know, pump the brakes a little bit on Jonathan Stewart. Listen, the guy is not going to break the bank. We don't know officially the numbers, but I can tell you that it's probably not going to be able something that you're going to have to worry about. The other thing is that, you know, the guy can still play. I mean, yeah, he's 30 years old, but the guy, you know, he's it's not going to cost you $10 million a year. We know that, but the fact that let him come in and just do what he can and have some leadership. John and I talked about this before we came on the air, is the fact that locker room was toxic. It needs some leadership. It needs some repair. And this is a guy that can come in there and do it. I mean, he's got experience with Mike Shula. He's got experience with Dave Gettleman being in Carolina. They know what they're going to get out of this guy, and therefore that's why they went out and got him.
And the other question people have asked, in fact, we got asked by one of the chefs in the cafeteria this question before we walked in here, and I'll try to preempt you guys from asking it. Do you think Stewart on the roster has any impact at all on whether or not the Giants would consider drafting a Saquon Barkley?
None.
I agree.
None whatsoever.
And that's why I made the point about, you know, and again, I've seen reports about what the contracts are. Until I know what it is, I don't want to comment on it. But to me, a deal like that is not going to stop you from picking a player you love with the second overall pick in the draft.
Sure.
So it's a completely separate situation. I think a better question, Jeff, and you can answer both these at the same time, does Carlos Hyde to the Browns make it less likely that they draft Saquon Barkley?
Yes. 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 Because they're gonna draft the quarterback.
Well, but will they draft Barkley at 4 if he's there?
Yes. I think they will draft him at 4, but they will not draft him at 1.
I would tend to agree with you on that.
I think that, and they may not draft him at 4, but I think that if you have a chance to get Saquon Barkley and you pretty much have done your job in free agency like they've done and some of the trades that they've done
already. Oh, yeah, they've been busy.
Then maybe it makes sense to take Saquon Barkley at 4 because you basically have already gone and got a lot of your players you wanted.
They have an offensive line. They have Tyrod Taylor.
I mean, they've already done a lot of work.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden for a guy that possibly could be, a lot of people think that he is the best player in the draft, to drop in your lap at that point, I think you take him.
I agree with you.
You know?
I agree with you.
Come on.
But I think we're on the same page in terms of the Browns, in terms of the Giants, and exactly what Ross Tucker said as well, that if you're any of those teams at 1 or 2, the Browns or the Giants, and the quarterback that you love is there that you think is your next franchise guy, you got to take him.
And I've always said that. That's been my go-to thing from the beginning. If the Giants feel like this is the guy that they want, then they're going to take him.
But if not, it gets a little bit tougher.
Not in my mind. In my mind, it's if Saquon Barkley is there and he's the best player on the board, you're taking him.
See, I would consider trading down, like Ross said. I would be more in that. Anyway, I don't want – we talked about it a million times. Let's stick to free agency.
But the luxury would be – the luxury to have the ability to – and what they do in free agency and see how the roster shapes up, the luxury to to have that second pick and move down and get a bunch of picks, that's very attractive to me too. So, it's a crapshoot.
And, again, it depends how far I'm moving down, too. I would hesitate to go out of the top 10 because I want a premium player. But
and we've already said it.
Would a team like the Jets and the Broncos, given what they've done at quarterback now, be as willing to move up as maybe they were before? I don't know. Or are they willing to wait to see who gets to them?
That Bills team is trying to move up, man.
But then you got to drop to 12. Are you okay? You got to drop to 11. You're right, drop. No, it is 12. You're right, drop to 12?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It gets tough.
But I've got to stay with what I've always said is I can't drop outside the 10.
I know.
I can't be outside the 10.
And frankly, I think I might shorten that to 8.
Yeah.
In my opinion, to be
but
honest.
As always, we reserve the right to change our opinion because we can.
and free agency will affect that too, obviously.
No question.
And I'm curious to see what Tino has to say tomorrow because he's been a huge proponent of trading down to get offensive linemen. If this deal does go through with Nate Solder, does that change his opinion? I'm curious to see what he says. He's on with Lance tomorrow, so you can check in and see what he says.
And I'll go ahead and say this. I think that he will not change his opinion. I think he'll still stay the same. He wants to they were going to try to get Andrew Norwell.
Right.
And his opinion, he knew that, and his opinion still was what it was. So they got Nate Solder. Okay, so I think that his opinion will still be the trade down.
Let's go to Tom in Cortland. He's back.
Tom is back.
And he's on with us on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hi, Tom.
What's up?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No worries.
It happens. We know.
I think I want to talk a little bit about, economics, I guess, of free agency and what this potential deal with Nate Solder means. If the reports are true, he's going to have a pretty big cap number. The Giants already have guys like Janoris Jenkins, OV, JPP, Eli Manning, Damon Harrison. That's a lot of guys that are getting paid well, and I think that might kind of indicate what the Giants are thinking about doing potentially, and that might be trading down and getting more picks because they're going to need cheap labor and talented cheap labor to kind of fill out the roster. I think they're kind of saying that they're all in for the next 2 or 3 years with Eli,
mm-hmm.
and I think this deal kind of might say that they're looking at trading down. I mean, it could also be that, they need to get a quarterback now because they need a quarterback on a rookie deal. And if they do that, then that probably means Eli's future with the Giants is maybe this year and done. But I kind of think that they're going to need to trade down to get picks in order to fill out the roster and get some guys. Because, next year we're going to have to pay Landon Collins and Odell Beckham.
Yep.
And, that's a lot of contracts to give out at high dollars, high value.
Yeah, Tom, I hear what you're saying.
I
think you make a good point, and you need a volume of players rather than, say, one really good one, which, by the way, would the second overall pick in the draft carries a salary slot of about $7 million. So that's also a significant number you have to put into consideration when you're doing that. I see where you're coming from. I think the way the Giants ran their cap and set it up, and Kevin Abrams plays a big role in that, does an excellent job of it, where they could, even with their future planning, afford to do what they did, this free agent period with bringing in one big ticket item on the offensive line if it does in fact happen, and they will be okay with Landon and Odell. So I don't think the salary cap will play a big role in them deciding whether or not to move down from 2. That is going to be based solely on the talent available
and
whether or not they think they can get a game-changing Hall of Fame player at 2, and if they can't, then they probably would decide to trade them.
And I think that they're going to look at all offers, and depending on how powerful it is.
Oh, they'll listen.
They're going to listen. And then I think the big purge is coming next year as far as contract stuff next year. Because you got a lot of things to do here.
Well, it could potentially.
Right.
The contracts are in a situation at that point where you can, if you want to, you can't really get out of them now, but you might be able to after next season.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Good question.
Because with the Bills and their moves, if they package their 2 first round picks, a second and a third to move up to 2, and the Giants did take that offer because let's say that Browns take Darnold, and he's not there at 2 for the Giants, who I think is who they would want to take at quarterback just based off of what people much smarter than me are saying. I think that they could still get potentially McGlinchey at 12 and then maybe Will Hernandez at guard at 22. And I know they got Soldier, but if they get those two guys on the offensive line, well, Eric Flowers can battle it out for a tackle or guard position. I mean, they're pretty set there. And then in the second round, they could do running back and linebacker or corner, you know, start building up that defense.
Thank you, Tom.
So I think that would be good value.
Appreciate the call, buddy. I'll be honest, if this Soldier thing does end up happening, I would not, and they did the trade down with the Bills, I would not select two offensive linemen in the first round. I think that's overkill.
I think at some point in time, we really have to start talking about the cornerback position here. I mean, we are literally just skimming over this.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Especially the way Betcher runs his defense.
So I feel like that second round pick may be a cornerback.
Could be.
Even, you know, if you package some, you know, for the pick and you get a couple twos and, you know, maybe a couple low ones, maybe you go with one of those cornerbacks in there, because I feel like it's something we need to really address. And I think that the offensive line is going to get addressed, which already has been addressed if this Soldier goes through. And I think that now you have to kind of switch over to the defense a little bit and think about, hey, you know, they weren't all that great either. That secondary didn't play very well last year either.
Yeah, and Jeff, I think when you look at it, depending on what happens with this report on Soldier, and then if they bring in, let's say, a mid-level interior offensive lineman in free agency, that it could be a solid starter, and then I think all you got to do is draft one guy. And if you draft a guy in the top of the second round, another guard or something like that, I think – Or even, let's say, Connor Williams at tackle, or even Orlando Brown at tackle, whatever. And that's going to be your second or third tackle to go with Flowers. I think you're fine. I think, and Paul and I said this yesterday, you need to add three guys that you think can start for you this year. All right? You have Brett Jones under contract. You have John Jerry under contract. You have Eric Flowers under contract. Those are three guys that started games last year for you that you would be reasonably okay with. Like, all right, this guy's got to start a game for me. He's not going to kill me, right? You add potentially Soldier. If you had two other guys, you're looking at six offensive linemen that you would theoretically be okay with them competing for a starting spot. That's a good place to start.
Yeah, you need three more.
I don't think you need four, especially not with high resources.
But here's the other thing to look at, too. When you look at it from a salary cap standpoint with the Giants that we just talked about, mm-hmm. it's going to be less expensive for you to go after two linemen in the draft than it is one lineman in free agency.
Correct.
Because of the salary cap, because of the pool for the rookie pool, things like that.
Of course, remember, corners are maybe even more expensive than tackles.
There's no question.
I mean, look what Malcolm Butler
got.
Look what Tremaine Johnson got.
I mean, we're talking a lot of money. So that's
Aaron
why
Colvin.
My point is that maybe those second round draft picks, you know, it could be a cornerback rather than a lineman or a running back.
Or maybe Minkah Fitzpatrick then is the pick at number two.
Could play some corner and could play safety.
So again, a lot of time to go in free agency.
2 months.
No reason
draft,
to make your decisions.
2 months to the draft.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in the head.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're a madman.
And here we go.
Please tell me we're getting a happy Charlie in Portland, Maine today.
What a glorious day.
I am happy. Can I get
a
I am happy?
Day.
I am happy.
You know why? Because Eric Flowers' days are numbered. That is so glorious. He will not be our left tackle anymore.
You're more happy about Eric Flowers' days being eliminated.
The only thing that could have made Charler happier is if they also signed Will Beatty today.
That's what I was going to say. He's going to be our right tackle, Will Beatty.
Okay.
Inexpensive.
Yeah.
Bring him in. Guests will love him. And let me say something about the Camardi DRC thing.
Yeah.
I thought that wasn't a very good move. Because we just created another hole that we didn't have.
That's fair.
And his cap space, I mean, his numbers, I think, was $6.5 million.
Around there.
And look at what the Connors are getting now in free agency. Way over that.
Well,
we had a really good player that we let go. Now we got to go out and get another cornerback. And the other thing is, before I would have gone even close to him, asking him to redo his contract.
They did.
But we could have got rid of Jerry, Harris, and Marshall, and we would have had more money than what we did with DRC. And we should have gone there first before we even went to DRC to ask him for a pay cut. I mean, why are these three guys still on our team? I don't get it. So I think that was a mistake. You know, I really do. And, Jeff, I got a question for you.
Yes.
What did you think of them cutting Wing? I thought that was a little bit premature. I thought last year all these players should have got mulligans because it was just a train wreck last year.
No.
And, you know, because of injuries, everything. And I think this guy is going to end up being a really good punter, and we just let him walk. Why didn't we let him compete with somebody?
Well, I think that, number one, they were trying to get some money. It was $1 million savings, and this was a performance deal. You know, and I think that a lot sometimes, you know, and hopefully Brad will go somewhere else, because sometimes this is what happens with kickers and punters. They lose their job and then they get a little bad taste in their mouth and they go and they work harder and then they were able to go on and have a very successful career.
Were you surprised they didn't let him compete with somebody for the job, though? Or is it that you don't think they wanted to carry two punters?
I just think that I think it was performance equals the pay, and I don't think his performance is equal to what they were wanting him to pay. So,
yeah, but that was his fun year. The year before, he was a Pro Bowl punter, just about. I mean, last year was like, they got to look at it. It was a train wreck last year. You had a lot of players that didn't play the way they normally played, like Jackrabbit. I mean, it was just too much stupid things going on in the front office and the coaching staff.
Yeah, but Charlie, you know what happens, and you know this. You know that when there's new people that come around, and right. new GMs and new coaches, you know, they clean house. They get rid of the guys that they don't want. And so, you know, they probably saw something in Brad Wing that they didn't like and decided that, you know, we don't feel like he's worth the money he's making, and they get rid of him. And it's going to happen to DRC, same thing. It's going to happen to some other guys coming up.
Yeah, but maybe they got rid of him because he's Odell's best friend.
I don't buy that.
You know, who knows? But, you know, a lot of times I will tell you this, and this isn't particularly in Brad's situation, but I will tell you that just sometimes things happen internally that a team doesn't like the player for some reason. And it just happens that they just get rid of the guys, you know, and you're sitting here talking about it sometimes, and you never know. You never know what's going on. Now, I do know this. They're going to have to find a punter because the guy that's on the roster has never played in an NFL before. He was in the Bills training camp. So, you know, that might be a free agent signing here soon, you know, that you get a veteran punter in here. The Giants do like – as you know, Charlie, the Giants do like veteran punters and kickers.
The older, the better.
Roster. Yeah.
The older, the better for punters, especially.
Yeah. Hey, you sure your son isn't going to come out early? Maybe we could use him.
He's not coming out early. He's got a lot of work to do. I can tell you that. So.
Thank you, Charlie. We got to run, pal.
Thanks, right, Charlie. Take care, buddy.
And by the way, if you guys noticed, I laughed a little bit during that call. They're about to start Baker Mayfield throwing at his pro day. And I saw some Giant hats, by the way, from people watching. So,
what were you
real
laughing
quick.
At? What were you laughing at, though?
They did, like, this NFL Network video promo, okay?
Okay.
And he did, like, the Hulk Hogan, where he grabbed the shirt and tore it.
Did he really?
I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Yeah. That's why I left. It was just very, very
this
funny.
This guy is pretty intriguing, though. I mean, obviously, he's got all the, you know, the moxie and what you need from a quarterback, but he's just, I don't know, man.
He's accurate as hell. He's productive as hell.
I know, and it's a shame that he just didn't have two or three more inches on him, because I think he would just be off the charts if he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think
you know how I feel about him.
A lot of people are just, you know, they're just a little afraid of that Johnny Manziel syndrome thing, which is wrongly put on him.
It really is. Absolutely.
And I think this guy does care about football, and I think he does want to play football. And
I think
he's just
a little brash. He's a little cocky.
And you know what? And it's funny because there's a lot of people that don't like that, but there's a lot of people that do. Okay? And really, if you're one of those people that do, you got to like this guy.
There's a very fine line, I feel like. You get to a point, you're like, all right, we like this, but then sometimes you're like, oh, dude, you just got to shut up. You know, and it's a very fine line to get from, oh, we like the moxie, to, dude, you just got to shut up.
I know. And sometimes you just wish that they could shut up, right? It's just like you would like to be next to them saying, no, don't say it. Just shut up.
Because couldn't you see, like, just for an example, like week two of the regular, if the Giants draft Baker Mayfield, which I'm not saying is going to happen.
It's just,
you know, the Giants have they're playing at Philly the week two of the season. And couldn't you see Baker Mayfield having his Wednesday press conference and saying, We're going to show them we're the best team in the NFC East.
Yeah.
That was last year's Super Bowl. That doesn't matter anything more. It's just clean slate. We're better than Philly. And you don't think that's going to be on the back page of every Philadelphia newspaper that week?
And he would just say that because he's young. And this
and he's confident.
Like confident.
He means well. Yeah, you want him to think he can win, but, you know, some things are better left unsaid. So those are the things you worry about with him. And, again, his throwing at his pro day will start shortly, which I'll watch when we're off the air in about 8 minutes. Let's go to Marco in Connecticut. He's up next. Hi, Marco.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Hey, good to hear from you, Marco. What's on your mind?
A lot of stuff. I'm excited about today. I heard you talking about Jonathan Stewart before. I think, just very quickly on him, I think when you have a running back room of Wayne Gallman and Paul Perkins and potentially Saquon Barkley, you have young, good players that, I mean, you put a veteran guy in there, I mean, it's only going to help.
And yeah, of course.
I think you make a good point, Marco, and if I had to pinpoint the reason why they did it, more so than any other one, that would be the reason. Now, a fan can argue whether or not that's worth the price of admission. I get that. It's a fair argument. But that's why, in my opinion, they did it. I'm with you.
Okay. So, Paul, I keep hearing Paul talk about this football 101 about, like, you know, how you build a team and where you kind of you kind of put your charting value, especially when you're drafting. I believe, you know, I haven't been around, obviously, as long as Paul has, but...
Nobody has. It's okay.
No, nobody has. Nobody has. Not even Gil Brandt.
He thinks he's Gil Brandt.
It's changing. It's changing. And I started to come around on this in this offseason. I think that's why yesterday I was so bummed out about Norwell. Because I have this, I don't know what it is, I just want to build from the inside out on the team. I feel with Eli, I shared this with you a few weeks ago, John, I feel with Eli, as the defensive tackles get better in the league, you need to protect the middle of your offensive line.
Yeah, but like Ross Tucker said, Marco, it's much easier.
I didn't hear him,
That's okay. When he made this point, it's much easier to help a guard than it is to help a tackle. And that's why, even with the league changing, I agree, I think guards are much more valuable than they used to be. They're still not nearly as valuable as a good offensive tackle is. And you can just tell by the price in the free agent market and the number of players at the position that become available. You look every year, you have a handful of really good guards that become available. You never have the top offensive tackles become free agents anymore. It just doesn't happen.
Right. That's true. So last year we passed on Whitworth. I don't know if you guys brought this up, but we passed on Andrew Whitworth, and I was about that. I thought they should have, given his age and the price, and I was ready to gamble on the line that we had last year. It came back to bite us, and it proved to be a good signing for the Rams.
Yep.
So this year we come back, and we actually brought in a younger left tackle potentially, and I think it's – you know, I think as this signing happens, you start thinking about the draft, and for me, it's been Barkley or Nelson, but there's holes on the team. There are. There's big holes, and I think that, you know, you got to think about, are we a rebuilding team or are we a reloading team? And I'm all about quarterback at that pick, given with any other team, but, you know, I'm coming out of a thought process that because there's holes on this team, maybe this is the year where, with this new regime, that this number two pick actually sets us up for next year. And, I mean, we're not going to just speculate who's coming out next year. I don't even know what quarterbacks are even coming out in the following year. But
neither do I.
But I bet you Kansas City didn't think about Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago. You know, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think anyone was talking about Patrick Mahomes. And I think, like, a team like Buffalo, who's setting themselves to come up this year, you have to set yourself up for it. And I think this number two pick will put us in a position where we'll start filling the shelves again on depth on the team. And we'll set ourselves up for next year in the event we want to come up and get someone. But this year, you, in my opinion, you stay where you are and you take Barkley, who's going to be a great player either this year or next year if the line is not ready. Or you take Nelson, who put him next to Soldier, and you don't even have to look the other way. And what I like about it, guys, is we're getting good, cheaper options. And that's what we need. See, this like Philly. Philly is like, hey, I respect you, Philadelphia Eagles. I, you know, you're in our division. You're cheap at the best position in the league, and you are able to go out and stockpile the other positions on your team. And that's what everybody wants to do. Nobody wants to pay one position and be hamstrung $22, $25 million. It's hard. And I love Eli, but let's go with Eli this year. But I'm just saying, let's get this number two pick to set us up in the future so we could do some damage.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Thanks, Marco.
And it's all about philosophy. Each individual and organization is different in where you want to start. And you talk about, you know, NFL 101 and how to build the team. I think most people understand that you do start with the offensive line and the defensive line. That's probably where, obviously the quarterback to me is the first, but, you know, around there you got to start to think about it. And you make a good point where, you know, if the Giants did happen to go after a guy like Quentin Nelson and you've got your left tackle for the next 3 or 4 years, you've got one of the best players in the draft is now a left guard. He's going to most likely be an all-pro there. You got Jones, who is going to be a starter. He's played a lot for you last year. Now you're rebuilding that right side. So you shape yourself up pretty quickly. But do you want to invest in that number two pick into an offensive lineman? That's the thing.
Or a guard specifically.
At a guard specifically.
And I think
that's a tough one. That's a really tough one to do.
The other part of Marco's call that I thought was interesting, is it a rebuild or a reload? And I think from what we've seen so far, and the fact that they're going to keep Eli Manning, it feels more like a reload.
Yeah, there's no question.
Now, even though it is a reload, that still wouldn't preclude me or Jeff, and I'll speak for you. If you like the quarterback that's there, you take him, because you don't know the next time you're going to be in position. Because as Marco said, yeah, no one was talking about Patrick Mahomes, but we could go 3 or 4 years with the Giants. Either there's not a player that they really like a quarterback coming out, or they don't have the necessary resources to move up to get the player, or the team that's in position to pick that player wants that player and they're not going to want to trade down. You don't know if you can put yourself in the position to get the next guy you want, which is why I think Jeff and I feel the way that we do.
Very hard.
Mike in New Jersey will be our final call of the show. Hi, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Yeah, how's it going?
What's up, buddy?
I had one question and one, well, they're both questions, but one I'll take off the air.
Sure.
The first one was, with the draft, I really think the Giants should go with trading back to in the 4, 5, or 6 range and picking up either Nelson or the cornerback, Minka Fitzpatrick. And as far as the question, the linebacker that they picked up from the Rams, Alec Ogletree, if you could just give me some information on him, because I don't really know much about him, that'd be great.
Well, I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot. And, of course, that trade was reported. Heck of a player. Young guy. And I think he'll help the inside linebacker position with physicality and athleticism.
And he's also he has a C on his chest. He's a captain. He was a captain for that Rams team. Quick, plays in a 3-4. And I think that Coach Betcher has seen him twice a year for the last 4 years. So he knows a lot about him, not being with the Rams. He's been able to watch him a lot through the years, and that's important. So
tackling consistency is something that some people have asked about. But, again, heck of a player.
Yeah, I think from a speed standpoint, very good, very quick. And, you know, something that linebacking core has been missing over the years is some speed, and we need that back.
And again, just to stress, that's nothing that's even close to being official and cannot be official until after the league year begins at
4
p.m.
Which is soon, at 4 p.m. today.
Correct. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. Jeff, good show.
Nice stuff. We got a lot done today, and thanks for joining us, everybody.
And we'll be back with you tomorrow on Big Blue Kickoff Live, Dottino and Medow. We'll be right back tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. Enjoy the start of free agency, officially. Ignore everything you've heard already. It doesn't actually start till 4.
Tomorrow, a lot of things will be official.
A lot of pens will be on paper shortly after 4 o'clock today. Let's leave it at that. Everybody have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.